Beautifully done. And that's my desire this morning, to go closer to the Lord. And I trust that it is the desire of everyone who is watching and listening today, to grow closer to the Lord. I want to invite your attention to a few verses of Scripture that'll be found in the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelations. And I'm going to begin with the first verse, and I'll probably read down through the 12th verse. And our lesson reads like this. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book and read, no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and on the and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And it came, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lord, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou wert worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. And I want to use today as my subject title this thought, "The Redeemed of the Lord." I've been thinking about this thought for several days. And I felt it was the will of the Lord for me to try to speak to you for a little while. There are four questions that I want to try to answer in my message today. The first one is, who are the redeemed? Who are the redeemed? The second question is, from what have they been redeemed? From what have they been redeemed? And the third question that I want to answer is, who redeemed them? Who is the Redeemer? And then the last question I want to consider is, with what did He redeem them? Now, it's a wonderful thing, you know, to sit and meditate upon the Word of God and to read about those who have been redeemed. So this morning, I want you to think with me considering these things for a little while. maybe I should start out with why was it necessary for men to have a Redeemer? Well, the Bible tells us that as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. The Bible says that we're all sinners. There are none who are righteous. We have all come short of the glory of God. And so we're all sinners. We're sinners by nature. And we are sinners because of one man. That one man's name was Adam. He was the first man that ever lived in the world. In fact, he was the first human being that ever lived in the world. God made the body of Adam from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And Adam transgressed the law of God. That's what sin is. Sin is breaking God's law. And so he broke God's law, and he became a sinner. And so the Bible teaches us that he sold out to the devil. Now, I don't know of a verse of Scripture that says that in those exact words, but I do believe that the Bible teaches that, that Adam sold out his posterity. Because the Bible said that as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men because all have sinned. We're all sinners by nature. And so that's why that we need a Savior. But listen to this. Romans chapter 8, chapter 5 and verse 8. It says this, But God commended his love toward us. That is, God sent his love in our direction. He sent it down toward us. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And you know, as the Bible of Paul in that fifth chapter of the book of, maybe the third chapter of the book of Romans, he is talking about the offense of Adam, how that through the offense of Adam, all were made sinners, you know. He tells us that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The grace of God, you know, the unmerited favor of God. Can you just imagine this morning how much God loved his creation? He created the world and everything in it. And he also created mankind. And he does have a desire to the work of his hands. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he had a desire toward the work of his hands. So he commended his love toward us when we were yet sinners. And even though there's much sin in the world, there are many sinners in the world. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And God, the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And so I already mentioned this, but you've heard that expression where someone said that this person sold his soul to the devil. Well, like I said, that's what Adam did. He sold out. But God had mercy. He had mercy upon Adam. And God redeemed Adam from his sins. And God will redeem all from their sins that will come to him through Jesus Christ. Repent of their sins and trust in him for life and salvation. Now the Bible says in the Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so God provided a plan of salvation that is within reach of everyone. Now, the only way that mankind could have peace with God was for a sinless person, a perfect person, to pay for the Adamic sin. That's the only way that we could have peace with God. Why? Because we're all sinners, you see. We are at enmity with God. We could not redeem ourselves from sin. We just didn't have the ability. We didn't have the qualifications to redeem ourselves from sin. I think it's so foolish for people in this world today, even ministers and religious people, you know, who teach that you're saved by your works. There's not an ounce of truth in it, folks. There's not a thing that a sinner can do to save himself except turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and trust in Jesus for life and for salvation. Now, I'm going to prove that by the lesson that I read in your hearing today. In this fifth chapter, John, he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was one of the apostles. He had been exiled there for his testimony and for preaching the Word of God. And they thought, we'll just isolate this old fella. We'll put him over there on Patmos, make him work in the salt mines, we won't have to contend with him. But John tells us that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord spoke to him, gave to him what we know as the book of the Revelation. Now, the book of Revelations, it's not written like the newspaper is. There are lots of symbols in the book of the Revelation. There are words that are used to symbolize something else. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. John said that he saw one who was sitting upon the throne of God. It said that in his right hand was a book. And this book was written within, and it was sealed with seven seals. Now, I'll tell you what I think about that. You can think whatever that you want to. I believe that that seven-sealed book contained the terms of redemption, the qualifications, what it would take for a man to be a redeemer, to redeem other men from their sins. A man that would not need to be redeemed himself, but who would have the qualification that he could redeem other people from their sins. And he said, I saw a strong angel. You know, I don't know, maybe he was an archangel. You know, there are different orders of angels in the Scripture. And so this angel was a strong angel. I don't know, you know, what the size of an angel is or anything like that. But he was a strong angel. And he proclaimed with a loud voice. He asked this question. Who is worthy to open this book and to loose the seals thereof? And you know, the Bible says, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Now you see, no man. There's no man that could redeem himself even. Therefore, no man could redeem anybody else. And so there was no man. What a search there was. That was made. They searched the heavens. They searched the earth. They searched beneath the earth, it says. And he says, there was no man that was able to open the book and to look thereon. And John said, I began to weep. Can you imagine, you know, this world in which we live? I don't remember how many million people or billion people are living in this world right at this present time. But you just think about, what if none of us had a Savior? What if there was nobody We're all sinners. We're separated from God by our sins. We have no hope. You know, we have no way that we can redeem ourselves and have a right standing with God. So I think that's the picture that John saw. He saw the whole world full of sinners and no Savior. And no wonder he began to weep. I just look around in my own church, the congregation where I preach, and I see the lost, and I see those that are still outside the ark of safety. And I realize that they have no hope at this time. And it breaks my heart. And it causes me to weep because they need a Savior. And they haven't turned to the Lord Jesus yet. But you just think now, during this pandemic, how many people have died around the world because of this one disease. And I sat in my office and I studied and I meditated and I thought about, oh, I wonder how many of those people died without God and without hope in the world. And it broke my heart and it made me want to pray for them, for the people that are living now. Too late to pray for the dead ones. If you're praying for dead people, you're wasting your time. There's not a chance for them. When breath left their body, if they're not saved, they are already in their eternal destination. And there's nothing you can say or do that will change that in any way. But I begin to think about the people who are yet sick. Some of them critical. I wonder if they're right with God. I wonder where they stand. It's enough to make us weep and to be concerned for lost people. He said, I wept much. And this is why. Because there was no man found worthy to open the book and to look thereupon. And one of the elders, he said, weep not. He said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take the book, to loose the seals, to look thereupon and to loose the seals thereof. And he said, and I beheld, I looked. And he said, in the midst of the throne and in the midst of the four beasts. And by the way, these were not animals. These were not lions or panthers or any kind of four-footed beast. These beasts were created beings. They were of the angelic form. They were around the throne of God. They praised God day and night. They were angelic creatures that were there in the midst. The elders that were there, I think, that represented the 12 tribes of the children of Israel and the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there. And there stood a lamb in the midst of them that had been slain. It had been killed. It had been put to death. But there it stood in the midst of the throne of God, ready to take the book, to loose the seals, and to look thereupon. I want you to think about the Lord Jesus just for a minute now. The Bible tells us that God had promised a Redeemer. He had promised Israel a Redeemer. We're reading the second chapter of the book of Acts when John the Baptist was born. His father, who had been a mute during the time of his wife's pregnancy because he didn't believe God when God said that his wife was going to have a child. And so he was mute. But the day John was born, and then 8 days later, They took him to circumcise him, and they named him John. And when they named him, Zechariah's tongue was loosed, and he began to prophesy. And he said, the Lord hath not forgot his promise that he made to provide salvation for Israel. And so Jesus was born into this world. He was born of the virgin. He did not have the Adamic sin as all of us have. Our parents, both our mothers and our fathers, were sinners. But you see, Jesus, he had an earthly mother. She was a virgin. She had never had relationships with a man. She did not have relationship with a man until after Jesus was born. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and she conceived, and that holy thing that was born of her was the very Son of God. And he was born without the sinful nature that all of us have. And he lived a life without sin. And he came for the express purpose, my friend, of dying on the cross of Calvary and paying the ransom price to set us free from the bondage of sin. That's what Jesus came to do. And that's what he did. He came. Now listen. The requirements. What did it take to be a Savior? You know, maybe this book, we read in Acts chapter 2 about the determinate council that was held in heaven before the foundation of the world. And at that determinate council, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he volunteered to come to this world and to live as a man and to die on the cross, give his life as a ransom for sin. And he did. You know, maybe this book that had the requirements, the qualifications to be a redeemer, maybe they were the minutes from that eternal council that took place in heaven. We have business meetings here at the church. We have a church clerk, and he writes down the proceedings, you know, and what we agree to do. And I think in that council meeting, there was a record made. That record is found in this Holy Bible that lays before me this morning. The requirements for salvation had to be one without sin, without spot, without blemish. You know, when Jesus came, John introduced him as being the Lamb of God, that would take away the sins of the world. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. Now, let's draw a strong angel. He took the book. No man could open it. John wept. But the elder said, John, don't weep. We've got a solution for this problem. This solution is the Lamb of God. And he stood there in the midst as he had been slain, still standing. You know, when Jesus was crucified, he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. They took him down from the cross. And they buried him. They made sure he was dead. Pilate sent his soldiers to make sure he was dead. They pierced his side. Forthwith came blood and water. Nicodemus and Joseph, they buried him. But on the morning of the first day of the week, he rose from the dead and he showed himself alive. I want you to get this picture this morning. In the midst of the throne of God stood the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish, who had died and had risen from the grave, and who was alive and alive forevermore. And he had the qualifications, my friend, to open that book and be the Savior of the world. to be our Redeemer. And so, Jesus, He is the Redeemer. He is the Redeemer. And the Bible tells us this. I read in the book of Job. I don't know how long I've been preaching. I'm about done. But in the book of Job, in the third chapter, I believe it is, Elihu was talking with Job. And they were discussing the many ways that God had dealt with men, you know. The purpose of Him dealing with them was to deliver their soul from hell. Now, folks, that's what the Lord delivered us from. He delivered us from the condemnation of sin. When you're saved, you're born again. You get rid of that condemnation of sin. You not only get rid of the condemnation, you get rid of the penalty of sin. The wages of sin's death, eternal death, in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever, the Bible says. And you get delivered from the consequences of sin. Now I want you to think with me, and I'm just about done. As Elihu and Job continued to talk about it, maybe I ought to turn over there. If I can keep the wind from blowing my Bible away. The wind's turning my pages for me anyway. Just give me just a second here. All right, this is what it said. A man's soul drawing near to the grave. He's just about gone. He's wasted his life. And he's just about gone. But Elihu said, if there's a messenger with him, if there's somebody there that can tell him about Jesus, he said, an interpreter, one who can explain of the Word of God, the plan of salvation. He said, one among a thousand to show unto him show unto man his uprightness. He said, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. You know, Jesus was the ransom. I wonder if you found the ransom today. Has God dealt with you, showed you your sin, and you have felt that guilt of sin, and you realize that you're not right in the sight of God? Has anybody ever told you about Jesus? I'd like to tell you about Him today. He is a precious Savior. He's a precious Savior. That's what the Apostle Peter said in the first chapter of 2 Peter. He said He's a precious Savior. So anyway, He is the ransom. He's the one that paid the sin debt. He's the one, my friend, whom can deliver men from sin and from shame. And He's the one that can set us free and that we can have eternal life and peace with God. I want to just share maybe two verses of Scripture with you. And then I'm going to close. But in the writings of the Apostle Paul, in the second chapter of 1 Timothy, I believe it is, and the fifth verse, it says that God, that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. And He said, who gave Himself a ransom for all. He died for you. He died for me. I would not have the assurance of salvation today if it had not been for the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid the sin debt. Now, Titus, I want to go over there just for a minute. It won't take me long to find it. But in Titus, this is what it says. I said it wouldn't take me long to find it, didn't I? All right. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And then in verse 14 it says, well, let me read verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, all sin, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And then one more in the book of Peter. I want to share this with you. I may be in the wrong chapter, but this is important. Listen. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his light. I'm going to close. There are a lot of other things I could say, but I'm not going to do it. I hope you could get the picture that I tried to draw today. I hope you understand. I know every saved person does. You understand what I'm talking about exactly, don't you? But those that are not saved perhaps don't. And I pray that God's Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart today. I'm going to ask Brother Ernie to lead us in another song. Told you I'd been thinking about the redeemed, you know. And one of the songs that we sing occasionally is When the Redeemed Are Gathering In. I want you to think about it. When all the saints of God are gathered together in heaven for the very first time. Go ahead.